full of brand new grace and mercy. Amen. We're into 2024, and we've come a long way here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we're so glad and thankful for the vision that God gave Brother Charles Sanford a long time ago, a.k.a. Six Eyes, for those of you that don't know. Amen. To start this station. And so programs like this that get the opportunity to minister truth and to share things with you of knowledge and wisdom, we're glad for the opportunity. Now, we also, today is Monday, we're celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. Amen. And many of us know him. And I'm going to pause for a moment and play a clip. Amen. And just listen in.
29. Faith was always an important part. Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1929. Faith was always an important part of daily life, as both his father and grandfather were Baptist ministers. He thrived at a segregated high school, graduating at 15, before heading off to Morehouse College. He then dedicated 3 years to theological study at Crozier Seminary in Pennsylvania. While earning his graduate degree at Boston University, he met Coretta Scott, who he would marry and have 4 children with. King and his family settled in Montgomery, Alabama, when he became the 20th pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. When Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to relinquish her seat to a white man on a Montgomery City bus in 1955, the incident lit a fire under the burgeoning civil rights movement.
His boycott of the bus system in Montgomery, Alabama was tremendously successful because he was incredibly strategic, and he worked with other people to get the individuals in Montgomery, Alabama to understand that they weren't going to take it anymore.
King's experience, passion for the cause, and position in the community gave him the credentials to become a leader in the 381-day boycott of the city buses. On December 20, 1956, the Supreme Court ruled segregated buses to be unconstitutional. This was a major victory for the civil rights cause and proved King's nonviolent methods of protest could yield results. King was now the national face of the civil rights cause. He was jailed over 20 times. Once stabbed in the chest, his house was bombed, and he suffered relentless personal attacks on himself and his family. For a man of peaceful intentions, he unfortunately spent much of his life the target of violent intent. Yet the threats never stopped him.
Dr. King inspired thousands of people through his eloquence, through his fearlessness, especially after his home was firebombed, his wife and his children. They showed through their courage that they were prepared to give their lives to the cause of freedom.
King worked tirelessly to promote the cause he so strongly believed in. And from 1957 through 1968, he traveled over 6 million miles, delivered 2,500 speeches, wrote 5 books, and dozens of articles. His hard work and ability to communicate earned him such respect that he earned the ear of President John F. Kennedy, who personally met with King. Of all the speeches King delivered, none has stood the test of time like his famous I Have a Dream speech. Symbolically delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, in front of 250,000 people, both black and white. King had become such a force in America that he was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1963. A nice achievement indeed, but it paled in comparison when in 1964, he became the youngest man ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't American. He was deeply American. And what's striking to me is that he had more confidence and faith in American democracy, in the Constitution, and in the principles of fairness and opportunity than nearly all of his critics. While in Memphis to lead a protest march defending the rights of striking garbage workers in April of 1968, King delivered a rousing speech titled, I've Been to the Mountaintop. It would be his last. Standing on the balcony of his second floor room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, King was shot and killed. In 1983, Ronald Reagan signed a proclamation declaring the third Monday of every January Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a public holiday to celebrate the man and what he stood for.
Amen, amen. Well, once again, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Bonnet. And that was our tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King as we honor him on this third Monday of the new year, Martin Luther King Day. And so wherever you are, it may be cold, but you can have a warm heart knowing that people are fighting for freedom, knowing that God has sent Jesus so we all can be free. Free from the bonds of sin, free from the automatic condemnation of death and the grave because of sin, amen, that led us away from God the Father. But Christ came and gave his life that we may have a relationship with God the Father and that we may know him for our one self and so on. So we're thankful to be here today. Amen. So many of you all, I am going to open up your mics. I'm going to jump right into my lesson today, but I wanted to open up the mics and say hello to each of you.
Good
evening, sir.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good evening.
Good evening, good evening.
I lost a caller there from area code 216, but hopefully you'll call back in. I'm not sure how I dropped you there. I said just drop.
I'm right here, brother. I'm right here, Pastor.
And, there's a different one. Amen. From the same area. Amen. Well, God bless you, Brother Six. Happy King's Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
And honoring him and the legacy that God allowed him to leave an impression on this world. Amen. That transcend even the United States. Amen. His teachings of peaceful protest and standing up for what's right. He truly was a modern day example for us to stand our ground for what is right. And and we don't have to do it through violence. Amen. And so
that's right. That's right. From the age of 27, he was on a quest for nonviolence. And age 39, he only lived to be 39 years old. And he did quite a bit in his 39 years of living. You know, just
That's
to have
right.
that
he
focus
did.
to have a better America. For us all, it wasn't just about one race of people, but it was about everybody. He always said to be judged not by the color of our skin, but the context of our character. So he wanted us all to be united as one. And slowly it's happening. It's happening. And one thing I would have to say with this COVID situation, everybody was on the same and is on the same playing field because COVID didn't discriminate. And the gift of it, it brought different races of people together. So his dream is being carried out, but let's not just wait till Martin Luther King Day. Let's try to make it a continual every day, 365. And with that, I'm complete.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And before I go any further, how's your mental today? I'm definitely two thumbs up.
Yes, yes. Two thumbs up for my mental. Two thumbs up for Trumpet, and getting things here together at the home. So everything's going good. Amen.
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 Amen. Hey, Queen, how you doing? Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm absolutely lovely.
All right, all right. Are you staying warm this Martin Luther King Day?
Yes, my apartment's been cold for the past 2 days, and I called it in to maintenance, but apparently my apartment and the apartment next door is a little colder than some in the building, so the manager knocked on the door and just asked us if we needed to turn on our ovens.
Okay. That's a good
idea. You got to do what you got to do. It's, yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's like 5 degrees today.
Yeah, keep it. The oven temperature around 2-something. You don't have to rise it hot to heat up in the house, or you don't have to run it at 400 or 350 or nothing like that.
No.
Really, no higher than 200. And it will permeate. It will permeate the building.
Right.
Through the apartment. So it does work. You can also try just to get the air in your home a little heated up. Take your big five-quart pot, fill it up with water and turn it on and let it begin to boil and turn it down just a little bit and let that heat from the boiling water fill the atmosphere, and that helps as well.
It does. It does. I've done both.
Amen. Anyone else? Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How you doing?
Hey, I love you, Pastor Bonnet. I listen. You know, it's been really busy for me. I've been hustling and bustling, but I have been listening. I want you to know that I've been showing you and the wonderful Queen all kind of support. And I'm here, and how y'all doing? 2024.
Amen. Good evening.
Amen. I tell you, if I didn't already have one press for time tonight, I would just have to make you the co-host with me tonight, seeing that you're all here listening. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm almost subject to change the whole program. Amen. They don't even know. They don't even know. This would be a tag team that is titled Revival on this program.
Yeah. God is so awesome. So awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. If others like to say hello, amen. So many of you are on the line today, and I am unmuting all the mics so that everyone will have a chance to at least say hello. And I'd like to ask you, let me know how your mental. Are you thumbs up, thumbs down? We are concerned.
1,000 thumbs up for 1,000 people. How about that?
Okay.
Yes, and who's calling in?
Hi, how are you, Miss Queen?
That's the evangelist.
Yes, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you? Which evangelist?
Yes, God is so awesome. Yes, he is.
I don't call but one person evangelist. She's a little bit over my age, but I'm not going to tell her age, but she sums it.
We're going to keep that a secret.
We're going to keep that to ourselves.
Okay. No, because we have an evangelist, Clayton, that calls in, too. That's why I was asking.
All right, and she is wonderful and loved evangelist Clayton, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Howdy, Dad.
Okay. Jessica.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hey, I heard Sister Emma. You home?
Yes, sir, I am. I got home Sunday afternoon and been resting like the doctor told me. I've been being obedient, not doing nothing I ain't supposed to be.
Well, that's good. That's good.
They know that they have rule over you, Emma.
Huh?
Obey those that have rule over you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Obey them that have rule over you. Amen. Amen. And that means to those that you have subject yourself to, following, you attend to obey as it lines up with the word of God for your life. And because certainly if somebody had the rule over you and tell you to do something that's evil, you don't do that. But for as them telling you to do something that's healthy and right, you do your best to follow through with those instructions. Amen.
To God be the glory for what God has done today. Thank God for his grace and mercy that renews day by day. Thank God for being on God's walk list this morning. Just give God praises to be on his Monday night motivation. Say hello from myself and my sister-in-law. We all up here. I'm on Pastor Bonnet's phone with him. I'm not dialed in because our phone connect with one another. So if y'all hear me back in the background, we're all on the line with him. Also, it's cold down here. It snowed yesterday, and it's still snowing today. And Pastor Bonnie probably will tell you a little joke, what my tipper had done to me a few minutes ago. So we're going to let you know how cold it is outside. So it's 9 degrees. We got down like you all in Ohio. Y'all was at 10. Y'all probably below zero now.
Yes.
And then tomorrow, it's going to get down to 3 degrees. So tomorrow night. So, and then, you know, that's when it's 3 degrees. The wind chill is even lower. So we enjoying this day, this Martin Luther King holiday. We just thank God for everyone that's on the all over the world that's joining us on the Ask Motivation Monday tonight. And God bless everyone. And a nice hearing from everyone that's on the prayer line. And I love you all. And my
Mitchell
is 110 today. I feel blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I like to praise the Lord. I like to praise the Lord.
Come on, Sister Ruth, praise him.
I praise his name for everything he's done for us. I imagine we've been through a lot of trials the last, I don't know, maybe a month or so. And
Ruth and Ken are only 25 years old. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody.
Yeah, he's 53 as of the January 11th, and Emily's birthday was in November. Yeah, the 10th. Mine is in July the 10th of, and I'm going to be 65 this year.
Oh, you're so awesome. You sound very good, Ruth.
The Lord
gets,
you know, it gets us moving. The reason Kenny's not on tonight is he's in bed sleeping. He's just exhausted. He's been working too hard on the computer, and I think he pushed himself. So he just needs a little snore time.
That's all right.
I haven't listened to you guys for a while, so that I don't care. I love you guys.
We give Kim the night off.
The great thing about the Six Eyes Radio Network is we're on demand. That's right. We are on demand. That means you can take from your iHeartRadio programming or just the internet, Blog Talk Radio. And you can type in the Six Eyes Radio Network. And you can listen to any one of our programs at any given time, day or night. We're available. Amen. So he'll get to listen to all your fun voices, and he can listen to everything else that's going to be said tonight, because we're going to pick up on those 10 keys I gave y'all yesterday. Amen. And so we're going to talk about some things tonight. Amen. I'm not going to be very long, about another 50 minutes or so, maybe an hour at the most, because I do have to go to work and I want to leave early so I don't have to do no kind of rushing. Amen. And I'm going to take my time to get there so I can get there safe and sound. Amen. And because I want to do my job and then return back home safe and sound. Amen. So, but I thank God for the opportunity to have employment. Amen. Thank God I have my own business as well. Amen. This is my slow season. So I thank God for my employment. Amen. That helped me to pay these bills. Amen. So I'm thankful. The Bible tells us, in all things give thanks. Amen. When I fell off that ladder a few months ago and I was hurt real bad, I had to give God thanks. And I can hear people saying, why are you thanking God? You hurt yourself. You wasn't able to do your job, or you run your business like you could, and you lost a lot of money, and you built some, and you gained some bills on top of that. And I said, well, I'm here to see all of that. So I thank God, because I could be gone. Amen.
What?
Man, you can imagine how lonely Lady Bonnet would be without me. She would have to learn how to feed
herself. Go ahead, Lady Bonnet.
Look, King and Tipper will be upset with her because she ain't gonna feed them like I do. They'll have to. I don't know what happened. You know, Tipper already had an attitude with her a moment ago. He was trying to go out. She tried to make him go outside to use the bathroom, and she said, "Come on here." And he ran on the other side of the house and stood on his two legs and looked at her, looked down and looked up like, lady, you crazy. It's cold out there. Okay. I mean, me and my sister looked at her and said, you don't see what he's doing. He literally is looking at you like you done lost your mind. I said, I ain't never seen a dog just look at the owner. Stand up and looked at her up down like, not today. I said, Lord, this is a shame. The dog done got like it's cold out there.
Okay, he even now.
I'm a hold.
That is so good. Look.
but anywho, I am thankful for an opportunity to share truth. All month long, we're talking about purpose. Amen. One of the most profound things in life is for you to have purpose. What makes people real depressed is when they feel they are unfulfilled, they lost their purpose, they don't know their purpose. One of the things that can keep you depressed is when you feel unvalued. Amen. And that's why that's one of the greatest attacks against Christians anywhere and everywhere. Trying to make you feel absolutely unimportant. And a lot of times, some of our church organizations, we help that attitude be reinforced because we have big eyes and big ears. Mm-hmm. We value other people more so than some. And we make that distinction amongst our own selves. And so people feel that way because they don't have a title behind their name, so they don't feel as important as you. But I read it in my Bible. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I see no separation. It didn't say he had a different heaven for the preachers, the bishops, the missionaries. It didn't say he had a different heaven for those that did great feats. It's the same heaven. Now, naturally, we are going to receive our own just rewards. Now, that is a difference. But that's based on your obedience in fulfilling your God-given role. So the importance of life is to first understand who you are. Let me make that real clear. You, me, we need to know who we are. I am not you and you are not me. So me trying to behave like you is actually me trying to live a lie. And the sad part about that, I said it before and I say it again, I'm not scared to say it. The Bible says every liar shall have their part in the lake of fire. Well, if you're not careful, you can live a lie just as well as tell one. So word to the wise, don't
That's
tell
true.
Lies and please don't live a lie. Please. So if you were born a male, just because you got on a dress or had a operation, you will never be a female or vice versa. And that's not hate. That is a word of caution because your eternal soul is on the line. You can do whatever you want to do because you have free will. So if you want to die and go to hell, I can't stop you, and no other preacher can. In fact, Jesus won't even stop you. But whosoever will, let him come. So if you want to come, come on to the Lord's side where the feast of the Lord is going on. Amen. And so let me keep on moving. So you must know who you are. Who? That starts with knowing that you are male or female and what your name is. It starts right there. Whose you are. Who had you? What's your mama name? What's your daddy name? What's your brother name? Your sister name? What's your spouse name? Your wife or husband? Whose you are? Are you committed to a business? Then you belong to them. You are a partnership with them. You know, it's amazing that one of the rules of Pepsi-Cola is if you are a Pepsi-Cola driver, don't matter what you like, while you have on that uniform, you can't drink Coke products. You can lose your job for that violation. Why? Because you are advertising something that you're not. So you may like Coke, but you can't drink a Coke while you got on Pepsi product. So if you got on Christ, you can't do sin. Because Christ and sin don't go together. They don't mix. It is like oil and water. So you must know whom you are. Or have you been bought with a price? Are
Amen.
You a born-again Christian? Then if you
yes.
belong to
Amen.
Christ, then you can't just do anything you want to do. I'm my own
That's
man.
True.
I'm my own woman. I'm grown. I'm two times this and that. That just because you are a certain age don't mean you can't follow somebody or be led by somebody or can't be told by somebody. Anybody that cannot be told something is someone that is unruly. Do you not understand that being under authority gives you authority? Oh, that's a whole nother teaching all by itself. Come on back, preacher. Say that for another day.
Amen.
Why a lot of people cannot advance because you don't even understand what gives you the authority to advance. Jesus told his disciples to stay amongst the Jews and minister to them. But the centurion, who was not a Jew, came asking for healing. Notice he simply said, I ain't worthy to be in your presence. Just speak the word only. For I am a man under authority. I say, and I am under authority. When I'm told to do, I do. And when I tell minds to do, they do. Just speak the word. Jesus said, in all of Jerusalem, he ain't seen such a greater faith. And this was not a man of the Jewish faith. So he would have been considered a Gentile. But yet he heard the message of Christ and believed. And he stayed in order and still received the blessing. That's a teaching all by itself. Come on back, preacher. That ain't today. That ain't today. So you must know who you are. You must know whom you are, whose you are. What's your connection? Because that begins to determine your purpose. See, when I was little, I was Barbara's son. So I had a purpose of when she left the house to watch over my little brother or little sister if she left both of them in my care. Had I forgot that purpose, I would have been met with a fate that was painfully for a moment that will remind me when I tell you to do something, you best do what I say. That type of whooping. And every verb, every syllable seemed like there was a lick with it.
Yeah, I've had a neighbor go after somebody with a tree limb.
And so there was an understanding of knowing my purpose by knowing I was big brother. My job was to protect my younger sibling. As I got older and had a child, I became a father. That means I had an obligation to bring up my own child. My mama didn't abandon me when she was young and had me. So I could not abandon mine because I was young. I had to live up to the responsibility. That means I had to meet certain needs. So that meant I had to have finances. And stealing was not an option. Selling dope was not an option. Because I understood who I was. I was a young man in a Christian home who had Christian values. And even though I did something wrong, I still had to live up to those obligations. You must know whose you are. And many of us walking around, you don't know who you are. Woman, you got one husband, not 10. And your pastor is not your husband. Stop telling your husband everything the pastor say unless y'all sitting down for Bible study. You made your pastor an enemy to your husband because you talk about your pastor more so than you talk about God. Because you ain't understanding the purpose. And certainly pastors, please, if you know your missionary got a husband, talk to him about her duties. Keep things in order. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. But somebody needs to understand, if you don't know who you are and whose you are, you'll miss your purpose every time. And so whatever you're doing is not fulfilling you because you're not of who you are. And if you're called of God to the ministry, then you are to be faithful in the ministry. Well, you're to be faithful in the ministry, faithful to the things that God has placed in your hands. Are you a layperson in the ministry? Do you have a job? Then you are to be faithful on your job as a Christian. It's sad when your people on your job say, what church do you go to? And they're saying it not because they enjoy your company. They're saying it because they don't want to go to your church because if you ain't learned nothing to change your attitude, they don't want to go where you've been. So you done misrepresented the gospel and the church.
Amen.
And you're wondering why people are not following you to church. Because they're thinking, well, if you're going to live like the devil and act like hellish, why should they try to be Christian and everything? They happy right now gambling. They happy fornicating. They're getting drunk. You know that because they talked about it on Friday. And when Monday came, they told you how they finished. But you don't talk about what the preacher talk about. But you said you were happy to go to church. But you can't tell one. Oh, Lord, help. Stop, preacher. Get back into the lesson. I'm sorry. I ain't throwing off on nobody. I promise you, I ain't throwing. But if I hit you, I ain't mean to miss you. Glory to God. Anyway, we're going to keep on moving. So you must know who you are, whose you are, so that you may fulfill your purpose. Understand that Jeremiah said, he records, God said to him, I know the thought that I have towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Romans 11 tells us our God's gifts and calls are never withdrawn. King James said that the gifts and callings of God is without repentance. That means, before you repented, God gifted you with what he gifted you with, and he meant for you to use it. That's why evil people, bad people, can flourish in their gifting, because they're using it. It may not be benefiting the kingdom, but they're still using it. That's why you have so many great, renowned singers all across the world in all genres of music. Because they're using the gift. Now, it's there to glorify God, but they may not be necessarily glorifying God. But they're still using the gift. So the gift that God gave you was meant to be used. Now, the problem is we have been misappropriating God's gift. In other words, we've been using the gifts of God in the wrong places or for the wrong reasons. Somebody asked me a while back about my prophetic gifts. And I told them these words, and I'm not going to get into the whole conversation, but I told them I was not going to prostitute the gift that God gave. In other words, you can't pay for this. Because I read the Bible, and I read how some kings paid preachers, paid the prophets, what was called seers in that day, to prophesy over their kingdom, to speak well over their kingdom, but God didn't give them to speak well over the kingdom. So I can't let you pay me to come speak well about you when God finna to deal with you. I got to tell you what he said, not what you said. But the scriptures are real. The Bible says in the latter days that we're going to have preachers that we're going to draw people of itching ear. In other words, people only want to hear what they want to hear. And that's why people can live like the devil, go to church and not be convicted and come home still the same. So, Philippians tell us that he that begun a good work in us is faithful. The New Living says it like this, Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God, who begun a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns, when Christ Jesus returns. So God wants to finish a good work in us. But the problem is we don't take the time to learn the process. We won't allow God to truly develop us. See, we're growing all the time. But many people are growing, but they have not developed. You've been in ministry 10 years and still can't tell somebody how to get saved. You grew because everybody know your name in the church, but you can't tell somebody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can't tell them all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't tell them that if you believe with your mouth, believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Learn that simple thing that's written for us in the book. Well, preacher, I don't have that kind of memory. Well, mark it in your Bible.
Uh-huh.
Put it on a little card. Keep it in your pocket.
Uh-huh.
Cell phones now that have reminders, have notepads on it. Write the note down. How to lead someone to Christ. But wait, somebody asks you, say, well, hold on a second. Let me do this. And open up your Bible in your smartphone. But you ain't got the Bible in your phone, so your smartphone ain't really smart, it's dumb. But let me help you. Go to your app store, download a version of the Holy Bible. Amen. Whether it be King James, New Living, amen, NIV, American Standard, it doesn't matter. Download the Bible, read it for yourself, mark in it, highlight in it, take notes from it, go to Sunday school, amen, go to Bible study in your local church. Participate in the scenes that's been made available to you for free. Now you need a giving offering, but they free.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say whether you can afford to go to Bible college, that you ain't got to go to Sunday school. It's free. Not free.
Mm-hmm. That's
fun. So once again, we must develop. The reason why we're not developing on our jobs and our careers, because we haven't practiced 10 simple skills of development. The 10 areas of development that any of us that have a job or design to work in ministry,
mm-hmm.
if you're an entrepreneur, if you have your own business, if you want to develop, period, might want to have. Number one, you need to have some goal-setting skill. Goal-setting skill. Number two, you need to, I'm going to repeat them all. Y'all ain't got to get, don't get scared. And once again, this is on demand. You can go back and listen to the program and take your time and write your notes. And matter of fact, you can Google everything I say. Goal setting skills, communication, number two. We got to know how to communicate. If you don't know how to communicate, how can you build anything for anybody? Collaboration. Let me pronounce it properly. Collaboration. Collaboration. That's the working with other people. Knowing how one word used with that is called networking. Amen. And so another skill that you must have, and you know you got to have it because God gave you two of them, and that's called listening. You got one mouth, two ears. God expects for us to listen more than we talk. But unfortunately, many of us, we talk more than we listen. Number five is conflict resolution. Conflict resolution. Now, I did a whole study on that, and Lord will say the same. We'll come back one day and did a teaching on that all by itself. Conflict, problem solving and conflict resolution. That's what it was called. But you must have conflict resolution skills. You must be adaptable. You must have adaptability, the ability to adapt, because some jobs bring in new management who have their own ideas, and they go to changing things. And instead of listening to what they're trying to change, you join the crowd complaining about the change, and you miss how to bring the team in unity. And the scripture says, where God sees unity, there he commands the blessing. I told y'all years ago, when I was a children minister and at the very beginning, the head teacher over the children church was moving out of town, her and her husband, and they moved out of town, and I hadn't been with the children church that long. But when they moved, the pastor appointed another lady who was faithful to take over the head of the department, and other parents began to complain that pastor appointed a woman over the program when now me, the first man, had joined and was now there. And they was complaining and fussing and brought it to me and thought I was going to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, I need to be this. I say, ho, wait a minute. He be the pastor. God gave him this ministry, not me. Do you know what God told him to do? Do you know who God told him to appoint? Well, y'all better miss me. Because if it was meant for me, God would have told him. But since God didn't tell him, my job is to support her. So we're going to follow what the pastor said. See, we don't know how to get behind the right people the right way. And we're not bold enough. We let people set us up. Stop letting people make you think you all that. Well, again, we're subject to leadership. So you got to be adaptable. You got to have adaptability. Organization. Oh, Lord. That covers so many stuff. You want a big house, but you can't even organize your two-bedroom apartment. You want more, but you ain't done nothing good with the little you got. And many of it because you have no organization skills or no goal-setting skills. Number eight, you have to accept constructive criticism. Constructive criticism. CONSTRUCTIVE. Constructive. That means when someone comes to you and say to you, why don't you do this or that, or have you considered this and that, based on something that they seen you do, don't start huffing and puffing with them. Examine what they said. If it has merit, use it. If it don't, let it pass. Number nine, this is number nine. It's not number 10, but this is really the king of all that we need to have, and that's integrity. Integrity is the thing that you do when no one else is around. Integrity is how you behave when no one sees you. Integrity is how you follow through with the promise you made. Don't mean now that you don't forget stuff that you've promised. But when you are reminded that you said you were going to do that you didn't do, integrity tells you to repent. Don't come up with excuses, even if they're legitimate. Start off with, I apologize. I'm sorry for, I did forget. Tell the whole truth. We go to looking for a reason to justify our wrong because we don't want you talking down on us. If I just messed up, I need to tell you, hey, you know what? I blew that. I messed that all the way up. Man, my bad. Whatever tongue lashes you got for me, I deserve them. Go ahead and give them to me. We don't want that because we don't want nobody to talk bad to us, talk down to us. Men, you know, we can be real caught with that one, you know. You know, let me go and give an example. The wife told you not to buy that. That wasn't going to work. And you said to her, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. I do what I want to do. I'm 250 Thoroughbred. Man. And you went and bought it anyway and tore everything up and had to come and spend extra money. Now, you know, like I know and God know, that even if she don't say it, every time she's looking at you, she's saying, I told you so. I told you so. And the integrity says to you that you can go back and say, baby, you know, I messed up. I knew I wasn't supposed to buy that. You told me not to buy that, but I did anyway, so I'm going to make it up. Amen. Now, sisters, integrity on your part is you don't rub it in. See, that's where you lose it at. Because you want to be over him and not realizing he still, even though he was wrong, he's still your husband. So, to the congregation, the pastor don't always have to be right, but he's still the pastor. Period. You don't disrespect leaders. Now, let me put it in Bible perspective for all of you that's trying to go against what I'm saying. David was a boy who became a young man and a soldier fighting for King Saul. David went out to battle in the name of the Israelites' armies under the leadership of King Saul. David was victorious in the things that he was doing. The people began to say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. Now, David was anointed to be king privately. Never once in Scripture did you see David say, well, I'm going to be the next king anyway. The Bible says he handled himself wisely. Saul was jealous and tried to kill him, not because he did wrong, but because the people were singing songs about him and not the king. Saul was trying to kill David, but David never lifted his finger to bring physical harm to him. He said, it is not for me to touch God's once or less. Now, he was anointed to be king. But he knew when God is done with you, he know how to move you. And when those came to testify that they did X, Y, Z to Saul, David killed them because they was out of order. Some of your dreams have been killed because you've been out of order.
Wow.
Woo. Some of the things that you wanted to do have been assassinated by God because you are out of order, because you put your mouth on God elected. Now, I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. So let me back to these areas of development. We have to develop. All of us have to learn these lessons. All of us have to learn and grow in these areas. So these 10 key areas of development, amen, even when you feel appreciated at work or at your church, these are areas for professional or personal development that can help you improve your personal productivity. That was number 10, by the way. Number 10 was productivity. I did leave that out. Thank God I had it in my next paragraph. So, productivity. So, to improve your personal productivity and to attain valuable skills that can benefit you in all the aspects of your life or career or ministry. So you have to take time for self-improvement. So say, self, I must take time for personal development. Amen. That means if you don't invest in your learning and your development, who will? Don't expect for me to treat you like a doctor, but you haven't even did the process of getting your associate. So you got to invest in yourself. And many times people don't follow us is because they don't see the fruit of what we're talking about being manifested in our lives. So we got to work on us. Y'all remember, to those of you that have flown before, that especially if you've flown with little kids or anything, one of the things the stewardess tells you in the beginning, they point out the exits in case of emergency, and they tell you if the oxygen mask falls down before you assist your little ones or even your loved ones that are elderly or are depending on you to depend on them, to them, that you are the first put your mask on first.
That's
then
right.
Assist them with theirs. Here's the Bible.
Amen.
How can you put out the beam in your brother's eye and overlook
the mote out
of
yours?
That's in your own eye.
That's right.
So if there's a mote in your eye, work on that. Fill that hole up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Or build the necessary bridge so that you can cross the mote in your eye before you start to scout the beam that's in everyone else. So you must have, you must work on these skills, okay? So take time for self-improvement, and taking that time will help you feel more confident in your contribution to your ministry, to your workforce, to your business. When you are taking the time to learn your craft, it makes you feel better about it while you're doing it, even in times of slow development or slow growth.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take the time to do these things, okay? Okay? So an area of development is a skill or a contribution that benefits your personal life, period. So if you say you're going to be a preacher, it might behoove you to listen to other preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get high off your own stuff. I know that's a drug term, but I meant just that what I said. In
all
other
right.
words, no, that if you can only get happy because of you preach or because of your singing, if you can only get happy because of your praying, and you can't get happy on nobody else praying and nobody else preaching and nobody else singing, something is help us today.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect that in you and outline that based on others around you. Amen. Because number one of those skills is cooperation. So some things you're going to have to merge with other people.
Yeah.
Some things you can't do by yourself. So you're trying to accomplish a goal that's meant for 50 people, but it's only two of y'all. And you won't bridge over, you won't cross over to merge with someone because they're not in the same organization. You Pentecostal, they Baptist, or you Presbyterian, they Methodist, or you black and they're white. And so you won't build the bridge necessary for the connection. So these things are beneficial both culturally and for self-value of personal development. So you gotta have that adaptability. Amen. And we're gonna come to these examples. We're gonna deal with them one on one. Amen. Okay. So number one, goal setting. Number one, goal setting. I ain't got time to finish all these tonight. I ain't got time, and I ain't finna rush for y'all. Y'all ain't finna rush me, and I ain't gonna take longer than I got to. I got a few more minutes, so listen real well. I got it written down so I can come back to it. Amen. Amen. Actually, I taught this lesson once before a couple years ago, Brother Sick. I don't know if you remember, but I taught this lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Before. Amen. So,
absolutely.
So goal setting. If you seek more direction in your personal life or career, setting goals may be the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, if you want better for your life, if you want better in ministry, if you want better for your family, you must first set a personal goal.
Mm-hmm.
So your own personal development is equally important to help you feel satisfied and pride in your work. So you must set that goal, and this is how you set the goals. Let me give you three examples. You must divide long-term goals into smaller or more achievable parts. In other words, when you go to college and they ask you your major, before you get to the major, there's some basics and some minors that you have to go through first. And so the process is class 1 through 5 before you can get to class 20. So setting goals is setting the goal of where you're trying to go, and then outlining it so that you can get there. This is how you outline it. Number one, you write down your goal in a journal or on a piece of paper or on a checklist or a spreadsheet or some type of electronic document in your tablet, your cell phone. Okay? You do these things so that you can frequently go to them and look at them. Years ago, churches used to do this. They used to, when they was in a building fund, they found out how much money they had to have to do the building project that they was intending to have. And it will be shaped almost like a capsule or a thermometer, an old-fashioned thermometer. And it will have the value from where they are right now in the finances and how much more they have to have. And it will be marked off. And some churches will say, well, by this is what we want to have by the summer. This is what we want to have by the fall. And this is what we want to have by the winter. So when spring comes around, we will have this much of money so that we can do this project. And so these things were set as outline goals that served as a visual aid. Remember, I 2 weeks ago, I told you about Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain, so they that see it, amen. So sometimes we by us not writing it down, we are not committed, and we don't know if we're on track because we're not following the outline. So we must create a visual board with a visual representation of that goal. And if you don't create that, then how do you know where you are measuring up?
Amen, brother. Amen.
See, that's the, Dalton, that's the judging yourself. You ain't got to worry about other people downing you and putting you down if you have judged yourself, if you have taken proper measurement of where you are. There's a thing about in carpentry or any type of construction work when you're measuring for size. They tell you measure twice and cut once. Why? Because if you don't measure more than once and you cut it, once it's cut, it's done. And so that you don't have to go back and start with a new piece, and so that you don't mess yourself up, you must measure more than once to ensure that you're accurate in what you're doing. This is where the second part comes in, and that is communication. A lot of times we don't set these goals because we don't communicate with other people on how to achieve the goal. Uh-huh. So we think we do it all by ourselves. So if you can emphasize how your communication style may be different from a coworker. In other words, if you got somebody that you know that's a good talker, you can compare how they talk to people in relation to how you talk to people.
Uh-huh.
When you're connected in a group, you can look at how others are adding people to their numbers and how you're adding.
That's right.
Uh-huh. If the pastor gave you a Sunday school department to teach and you got there and there was 10 people and a month later there's 5, there's something wrong with your communication, especially if they're still in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it'd be different if the church altogether. But they still in the church, but your numbers drop. That lets you know your communication needs some work. Okay? So you must recognize communication matters when you're working with other people. As Christians, when we work in our secular job, it matters how we talk to people on the job. Because they know we saved. They know we say we go to church. They know we say we love the Lord. But how we talk to them dictates to them. I've had people say, excuse me, please, I ain't mean to cuss around you. I ain't mean to say this around you. I said, well, you ain't never confessed me to be a Christian. So, do you? And somebody say, they say, what? I said, God did not tell me to judge you and condemn you. I appreciate you recognizing that I'm a preacher, but I don't cuss. I don't cuss. I don't cuss because I can't. I still know the word. I just don't find a reason to do it. And I ain't going to let you make me do something what I have resolved within myself not to do. not just because I'm saved, but because I know that it means nothing to me. So why participate in something that means nothing to me? I am intelligent enough to tell you off without using one cuss word. So if I got something to say to you, I know how to say it to you real good, that the Lord may judge me on later on, because I gave it to you raw. I ain't cuss you, but I made you feel like I done cuss you and stabbed you.
Amen.
Amen. So I ain't got to cuss you out. I ain't got to cuss you out. I ain't got to use one out of cuss word to tell you off. But that's the power of words. And words are in communication. And if we don't understand that communication helps us bridge the gap from one person to another, then we'll miss the purpose of why God planted you at that job, why God allowed you to be the substitute teacher that keeps substituting from one class to the other class, because God didn't want you to isolate it as a primary teacher here. He wanted you to touch so many more, so he allowed you to sub here, sub there, because he had more people for you to touch. And you complaining that you're still a substitute teacher and you wanted to be a permanent teacher, but you didn't realize God was using you as a sub because he had more for you to touch.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said it well. He said, one plant and another water it. Sometimes your job is to water. That's your job is to water. A good gardener plant the seed one time, but go out every day or every other day and water the plants and talk to the plant and tell the plants they're looking good. And they prune the plant, cut off what need to be cut, put a little bit more water on stuff that's not looking as healthy as it should.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand purpose. So communication does that. So it creates a balance between meeting one-on-one, okay? So you may be good in talking to people one-on-one, but not so good in talking in groups. You have to recognize that it's your shortfall or your weakness. And if God is carrying you to a bigger group, you got to start learning how to talk to more than one person at a time. Yeah. You can't be stuck with just talking to one person when there's millions that need to be saved.
That's right. It don't happen overnight.
There are millions that need help.
Yes, help. Yes, help.
Okay. And sometimes maybe you may not be verbally as communicative, but you have writing skills, then you may consider doing posts. You know, you post, P-O-S-T, post. Y'all know y'all have mm-hmm. Twitter posts, Facebook posts, all these other media sites. And y'all get on them.
Mm-hmm.
So you one-on-one with your computer. God gave you a thought. Type it down. Send it out. Send that thought out. And wait on the responses. So God is giving you communication skills. Learn them. Use them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
Establish a six-point or routine that helps you to have timely communication. Once upon a time, the Lord allowed me for, 7 years or so to have a prayer line every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Things transition to a different time. God allowed me now to minister on this platform Sundays and Mondays.
All over the world.
Who knows what he's going to establish in 2 months from now? But if I'm not open communication, I may miss the opportunity to travel, to move, to do things, because I'm not skills that God wants to develop me in. Collaboration. That collaboration. Collaboration is a skill you learn at a young age when it is called cooperating or sharing. You know, when you was at preschool and you were playing with a toy and teacher said, now share that toy with someone. Collaboration is learning how to share what you're doing. You may have a space that you go to minister to, but someone else may need a space. Maybe they don't have a space where you could say, I use it on Tuesday, and you can use it on Thursday. See, opportunities may come open like that, but when you're closed-minded, you don't know how to collaborate with other people so that you may share the good news, so that you may learn. Because sometimes it's not just about my group. It's about me coming in and sitting down and learning what your group do. Mm-hmm. Because I want my group, I want my church to grow. I want my ministry to grow. I want my business to grow. So maybe what I need to do, or I want to build a business, so what I need to do is one of the here's a lesson. No one on the in the world, I don't care how much money you got, you cannot buy a McDonald's unless you have worked with them for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it used to be 1 year. I think it's still the same principle. I ain't tried to buy one yet, so
We're going to get one this year.
If you wanted to buy a McDonald's, you had to, regardless of what money you had to join their corporation for a full year and learn mm-hmm. their system of operation. Why?
Yep, the ins and
because
outs.
A Big Mac is a Big Mac in China and in France. And in America and in Spain, everywhere, it's still a Big Mac. It ain't no different. It has the same special sauce, the same special sea bun, all that. It's no change.
The same, no matter where you go.
And so if you want to be better in ministry, or if you want to be better in business, or you want to be a better wife, a better husband, it behooves you to talk to someone that's been where you're trying to go. So stop talking to your girlfriend that done had 50 relationships and ain't committed to nothing, trying to tell you how to treat your husband. No, she can't tell you how to satisfy your husband. I'm sorry, but she ain't learned how to satisfy one yet. She can't do it. So women, stop listening to these talk shows because they are scripted. I don't care how much they say they are realities. They are reality scripted for ratings. Follow the biblical principle that has already been proven. Talk to someone of your same faith that has a marriage longer than yours. Collaboration also inspires you to do more or to be more productive. Okay? You may have different backgrounds, but you may have a common goal. So you must learn how to work with other people, even other races, so that you may establish the same goal. Now, this does not mean that you who are saved corroborate or collaborate with the unsaved in developing the kingdom, because y'all goals are definitely different, and they're some very different baseline. So be not unequally yoked falls in play right here. You are in the world, but not of the world. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. So realize that. I'm out of time, so I'm going to give you a couple more things. Collaboration, by joining with other groups, though, you can brainstorm ideas. You can sit down with people. One of the things that before We built Redemption for Life Ministry with my brother, Pastor Sean Calhoun. We sat down as a group, a few of us, and we talked about the goal, the idea, how the service is going to be run, the building, all of that. We met every single week, we think, and even after it started, we had meetings every single week talking about the productivity of it, or the success or the failure. We dealt with every aspect of it, and we brainstormed on how to make things better, what that we need to do, what shouldn't we have done, all of that. So collaboration allows you that partnership so that you can put everything, as they say, all the cards on the table so you can see what works, what don't work. And so you must learn how to participate in team building activities. Amen. Our team building activity, if you working with someone that's trying to do the same thing and y'all have a goal and y'all learn it together.
We're doing
that's
it
like
right
going to, when I was a children minister, and a lot of things that God gave me to start within our group, we went out and we went and we paid the cost to go to a retreat. And when we got to the retreat, everything that we was doing, everything that we had outlined in our group, they was doing it, and they just had different names for many of the same things that we were doing step by step. So it lets us know that we was that God had gave us what he gave us. It was beneficial. Amen. And God has blessed us. And so, but it encouraged us to keep on. So those these activities are good for marriages. They have marriage retreats. They have single retreats. They have things like that so that you can develop your personal life. Because let's be real, you want to build a family, but you broke. You need to learn, figure out how to build your life so that the child that you bring in, you'll be able to provide for. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want to go out to buy a home and you get the home and you're struggling every single day to pay the bills and you're hungry like I don't know what. Now, I'm not talking about you go out and you start good and then things happen that put you behind the eight ball and you feel you struggle. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the initial start. When you plan and you make proper planning, you can get to where you're going. Amen. And even if things happen, you have other avenues that can safeguard you from a total fall, you know, from losing everything. So, but you got to have that support system. You got to have that group. You have to have that connection. My time is up. Number four was listening. The qualities of a good listener are many. Amen. And they can be taught and developed with practice. In the workplace, a good listener are valuable for others seeking mentorship, for career advice, for sharing ideas on how to complete projects and when to get to know coworkers personally or fellow believers personally, or for collaboration. So listening skills are very good. When you're listening to somebody, you got to make sure you're making eye contact with them. Avoid glancing away. Amen. Let them know that you are attentive to what they're saying. Don't be dealing with your cell phone or your computer, but give them your attention. Amen. Allow the person time to think, but try not to constantly interrupt their talking. Amen. And don't have long durations of silence in between them asking a question or talking to you. You got to express your emotions properly. You know, if they talk to you about a sad moment, it's all right to show empathy. If it's something that you don't agree with or don't understand, you know, there's a way to to express that was not being insulting in rejecting them so that they'll stop talking. Because sometimes sinners, when they feel like you don't really care, they won't share anymore. So the Holy Spirit don't give you time to understand how to win them. Amen. Yeah. You got to ask. You got to ask the right questions for follow through. You got to know when to ask the questions so that they'll know that you've been listening. You know, if they just gave you the answer to 2 plus 2 and then you ask them what's 2 plus 2, and they're going to say, well, you just didn't listen. I just said it. So make sure you're listening correctly so that your conversation is truly engaging. Okay? When we kick back in, we're going to deal with conflict resolution. My time is up. I do have to go to work. I love you all.
Yes.
Man, and I wish I had more time to really talk about all these things. Amen. I see that the line dropped some, but many of you called right back in. I just unmuted those lines. I will take one quick question, one quick comment, one or two comments real quick before I get out of here. Are there any?
Well, great 10 keys. Take those home. We do have carry-on boxes to take home the 10 keys. Join Pastor Bonnet every Monday on the 6 Hours Radio Network, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, the best in online radio, the 6 Hours Radio Network. Join the 6 Hours Radio Network group. And we thank you for the great message on this Martin Luther King Day. 2024, January 15th. Amen.
Amen.
And we want to thank all the listeners around the world. Yes, definitely. We got take-home boxes. And enjoy.
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Again,
amen.
These are just some good skills that to put it all in.
Does a great job.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a delicious meal.
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful.
She's saying that because I cooked before this, too. So she don't work me today, and I got to go to work. I tell you. That.
Right.
So they feeling good over here. And then I got a big pot of chicken noodle soup, homemade chicken noodle soup.
Look at you.
That's sitting at that thing on them. Now, this ain't even the meal. This is the next meal. That's ready for them. They may start on it tonight. I don't know when I leave. You know, I just hope I made a hot, so they can't eat it all before I get back home. So
yeah, I better say to Pastor some soup.
Pastor Bonnet could drive me some up to Ohio.
It's cool, man. I taste a little bit of it, and it's good.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, there's some collard greens in there, some chicken that I made earlier for them today. Before the program, I gave them some chicken and all green.
We got to go out and make cornbread.
Oh man, that sounds good too.
Say any more comments?
And let me say this: if you have pets. Because I hear a dog howling real, real bad. If you have the room, please let your pets in. It's extremely cold outside. And if I could find that dog, I would let him into my garage. But that poor dog is howling out there. So
aww.
If you have pets, please bring them inside. Because you definitely wouldn't like to be out there. And we just want to ask the Lord to wrap his arms around the homeless. Keep blessing the 6 Hours Radio Network so we're able to do more. We have a hat and glove drive. So if you would like to contribute, no amount is too big or too small, you can go to the PayPal. The email address you'll enter is SIXEYES6@gmail.com. In the subject, put hats and gloves. No amount is too big or too small. Help us in the effort to give hats and gloves to the homeless. Also, if you have Cash App, It would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And for the memo, put hats and gloves. And again, no amount is too big or too small. Help the Six Eyes Radio Network put hats and gloves on the homeless. We thank you. You're enjoying the best in online radio. You're enjoying the best in radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you.
Amen. What's that? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful program. We thank you for all those that are listening. God, we pray for the health of those, our members, our listeners, Lord God, our fellow believers. We pray, Lord God, that your will would be done in our lives. We pray for the sick and shut in today, Lord God, that you will meet them at their needs, Lord God. We believe your word that says that you was wounded for our transgressions, you was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you, and by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we are healed. And so we speak healing for those that are in bed with the flu or still dealing with the coronavirus or any other type of ailments in their body. God, we just speak your divine healing, Lord God, to cover them, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lord God, heal those that have a weakened heart condition. Heal those that have breathing conditions, Lord God. Heal those that have blood conditions, Lord God, regardless of what it is, whether it's high blood pressure, sickle cell, AIDS, diabetes. It doesn't matter, Lord God. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord God. All things are possible for them that believe. So, Lord God, to every believer that's listening now, we speak wellness, we speak wholeness, we speak healing, Lord God, to their bodies, Lord God, and to their spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. And even as you have said, Lord God, in Philippians, Lord God, you tell us to work out our own salvation, Lord God. Help them to work out their salvation in dealing with their weight issues, their health issues. Help them, Lord God, to overcome the challenges that's holding them back from living a prosperous life, Lord God. Whether it be, Lord God, sleep deprivation or, Lord God, whatever the challenge is, health issue-wise, Lord God, study-wise, Lord God, help them to be more this year, Lord God. We invite the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, Lord God, into the direction and to the fulfillment of the purpose that you have for each of our lives. And for this, God, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, because we know that our best is yet to come, Lord God. So we thank you now, Lord God, for giving us the strength, Lord God, to press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we're not afraid of the enemy, and you know, we're not afraid of the things that we don't understand. But, Lord God, we have put our whole trust in you, Lord God, and we're not leaning to our own understanding. We are acknowledging you in all of our ways so that you may direct our path. Thank you now, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your own way. Thank you now. We love you today, and we thank you, Lord God, for traveling mercy as we travel to and fro. Lord God, give us safe travel as we go and safe travel as we return. We love you, God. Thank you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray and receive. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless each of you. Have a wonderful and blessed evening.
You have a wonderful evening, everybody, too.
Yeah. Amen. That's it. Good night.
Good night, everyone.